Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day.
And welcome, seekers, to episode number 108 of God Beyond the Bible, the podcast made by seekers and for seekers. This is the fifth and final episode of our series on the subject of what happens when we die. But before we get into today's episode, how about some shout-outs?
Our shout-outs today are to Jay and Natalie. We love having you guys listening.
Welcome aboard. Our quote, and this is a paraphrase of a number of known quotes. I just kind of stuck this together, but it's kind of, I try to live by this. The only thing I can control in any situation or circumstance is how I react. How I react will determine the impact the event has on my personal life.
I like that.
Yep. In this series, we've been talking about what we think happens when we die based on the evidence of those who have had what some have come to know as NDEs or near-death experiences. In this fifth and final episode, we would like to talk about the theory that many hold concerning why we are here in the first place. The two biggest questions we all contemplate to varying degrees is what happens when we die and why are we here to begin with? Usually the latter is in the form of what is the meaning of life?
Many support the theory that we're actually here by choice and not an accident. And that the veil that we pass through as we become human, as we enter into human existence, actually blocks out our memories of our prior existence. The Bible itself supports this theory on many levels. Last year, we did an episode on the tree of knowledge of good and evil that was presented to Adam and Eve.
And let me say about that, I think it might have been Dolores Cannon, but it might have been Roberta Grimes. I can't remember. One of them said, well, then why aren't we just allowed to retain our memory that we're here on purpose and why we're here? And someone said, you know, it's a school. It's a test. A test is not a test if you know the answers.
That's true.
If you know all the answers. We're taught, back to Adam and Eve, we're taught that the story of this event, I think we did a podcast on Adam and Eve, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't we do something on this nature? But we're taught that the story of this event is all about God putting man to the test, man failing the test. The truth is, we have pointed out, if that is the interpretation, then the test was rigged. Mm-hmm. God gave them free will to choose. They had no concept of a poor choice. So with the tree or the temptation, as many call it, being placed right in their presence, they did the natural thing. They utilized their free will and they ate of it.
It kind of reminds me of, have you guys ever watched the, and I get in these holes of them on YouTube, have you ever watched the videos where they give small children the chocolate choice?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've seen those.
I'm going to put this piece of chocolate here and I'm going to go away. If you eat the piece of chocolate, then that's all you get. But if it's still here when I come back, then I'll give you two pieces of chocolate. Mm-hmm. And like 85% of the kids eat the chocolate because they're sitting there staring at it going,
ooh. I use the example often of the Adam and Eve thing. It would be the equivalent of us putting a bowl of broccoli on a coffee table that a child, say a toddler, that can pull up to there. And we put a bowl of broccoli and a bowl of cookies there. And we say, you can have the broccoli, but don't eat the cookies. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the setup?
It is. And
they're innocent. They don't have any, they have no reference to why not eat the cookies.
Mm-hmm. As we pointed out, we tend to approach this ancient story from a negative place because we have preconceived that the outcome was a punishment for a single misstep and that punishment still affects humankind to this day. However, if we will set aside our religious dogmas for a moment, we may discover that we don't really have the right handle on the event.
First of all, the title of the tree is the tree of knowledge. And let's stop for a moment. The word knowledge in Hebrew means to know what God knows. From this and a couple of other ancient stories, we have adopted the approach that God does not want us to have higher knowledge, but instead punishes us for attempts to gain higher knowledge. But many have changed their view of what this event was really about, and it was about providing Adam and Eve an opportunity to know what God knows when it comes to good and evil.
And there again, I can't point out enough. They had no concept. They had no reference.
Right.
That's the whole yin and yang thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a reference.
You do.
How can you know light if you've never seen dark? Mm-hmm. How can you know what's high if you've never seen low?
True.
That's what this is all about. Is it number six?
Mm-hmm. You are.
Okay. Many believe that we are all Adams and Eves. I'm one of those. And that we all chose to rise to a higher spiritual level, vibration, knowledge, astral plane, or whatever we prefer to call it. In other words, we existed, just as Adam and Eve did, in a spiritual paradise where everything was perfect. If this is all we've ever known, how can we know that it's perfect? How can we know it's good? We cannot, unless we have a reference. And the only reference we can have to recognize good is evil. Mm-hmm. Remember, the tree held the knowledge of both good and evil.
You know, some believe that this life is just that, a school. A learning experience, an opportunity to graduate from a spiritual being that spends eternity in paradise, but not being able to realize it is paradise because of no reference of evil, to a being that experiences both good and evil and returns with a whole new appreciation for how good the good is.
And those who hold to this theory say that why God made this earth the place it is because it is a learning ground to take us one step closer to the plan of God. And the belief is that there is a great line of souls that are awaiting their opportunity to go to school here, but really don't have any idea how difficult this school can be. In a way, this is Introduction to Good and Evil 101. Sure, the divine could just tell us about good and evil, but being told about something is never the same as experiencing it firsthand.
And I want to go ahead and say something here. I think it might have been Roberta Grimes, one of the two that we've mentioned, or and I think they both did it, Dolores Cannon too, both said that there are lines of souls waiting to get into crippled bodies, waiting to get into mentally challenged bodies, because these are where you learn the most.
Oh, wow.
That when you take the course, you can take the easy road,
or you can take the hard road.
But the easy road you learn the least, and the hardest roads you learn the most. You graduate with the highest honors. I just want you to think. We'll be talking about that a little more.
Wow.
Many who support the idea that we agreed to take this course in good and evil think that we probably made a sort of agreement or contract as to how long and even what type of life we would have here on Earth. The more difficult the life, the higher we achieve in our pursuit of divine knowledge. They believed that this is really what Jesus was talking about when he said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. In other words, the ones who choose the most rigorous and undesirable roles on earth, such as sickness, poverty, defective minds and bodies, and etc., graduate with the highest honors. And they believe that those who choose to take the roles of what is considered to be well off and successful in this life graduate at the lower levels. Thus, the first are those who chose the least difficult or challenging positions will be the last in the class. And those who complete the school having chosen the most difficult and most challenging positions are first in the graduating honors.
They believe that's why some whose learning course is cut short before they have completed their agreed assignment are sent back. Thus, the near-death experience. They also say that those who quit the course by means of suicide or who may die before they complete and decide not to return actually forfeit their time here and must repeat the whole course if they want the experience of knowing what God knows. The theory is that some have to repeat the course many times before they attain the spiritual education they came to receive.
Another part of this way of explaining why we are here is that many of us, having passed through the veil of birth and not remembering why we are here, are much like young high school graduates who go away to college and allow the allurement of partying and riotous living to distract us from our mission and actually finish life, never satisfactorily completing the course and have to repeat it. Never is the same human form or situation as before, but the same spirit or soul as before.
I'll be honest with you, I don't want to repeat. I'm going to try to, I think I'm working on trying to do it right this time.
But how do you know if you haven't? I mean, like, maybe I'm the one that God has said, this is the 500th time, but yes, maybe this time she'll get it.
If you don't get it this time, Tabby, you're just forget it.
I'm just saying, well, I think we choose to come back and say, okay, I'm going to do it. I can get it this time. Okay, really? I understand. But see, remember that we're up there and we say, oh, yeah, but I didn't know why I was there.
Right.
But that's why spiritual awakening.
Yes.
See, that's the whole point of spiritual awakening. We start to understand that we're actually here for a reason. Now, am I 12?
Yes.
Those who support this line of thinking of why we are here say that we entered the school in a sort of pact with a team that may include others who weave in and out of our life, and even angelic beings that are at our disposal to help us attain our original goals. But we get involved in obtaining the things that bring us pleasure on this carnal plane, the carnal consciousness level, and we do not access our support team.
I've heard lots of people say statements about they believe that when you meet someone and you're like, it feels like I've known this person forever within just minutes, that chances are on another plane you did know this person.
I've got good friends and a couple of friends, Kirk one of them, but and Brad, but others, and I feel that there's a few that you connect with, and I think that's why so many people actually probably marry and then divorce. They don't find that person.
Yeah.
That's right, because they did it on a carnal consciousness level. They didn't meet. It wasn't the person for them. It wasn't the real person for them.
So whether or not we subscribe to this way of thinking, I think you have to admit that this would really explain a lot about why we are here and why life is so difficult for some and very easy for others. This very theory may be why the Master started his first recorded public teaching, and that is the Sermon on the Mount, with what we call the Beatitudes. They say, blessed is the person who is so and so in this life, for in the afterlife they will receive so and so. Some believe that each of us fit into one of those categories dependent on course in this school of life we have chosen based on our spiritual goals.
Wow. I don't know if we could even go any farther with that. With that being said, as always, may God's unconditional grace, peace, and love be on, in, and radiate out from each of you, our fellow seekers, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible. Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.